Welcome to the Good Vibes Podcast with Clark Impastato and Ryan G.
There it is. The magic button.
Yeah. Well, hey,
what's
up, buddy? Ryan?
Well, first and foremost, congratulations, Miss TJ.
Yeah, my daughter graduated high school.
What that a proud moment, seriously.
It was a nice moment. And, yeah. You know, it's bittersweet for any parent because, you know, in most situations that kind of your job as a parent, at least in its totality, is over. Now, you'll always be a dad or a mom. I mean, but that's typically the point when most kids have to go to college, get a job, or join the military. Basically, those are your three options. And so it's kind of, you're proud of getting them that far, but now you realize you have to kind of let go at the same time. And so it's bittersweet. And it's,
It was nice seeing the videos because in TJ's eyes, you could just tell it was a very special moment being here in the United States with her family, with Goose and you. It was nice, man. You could see it in her face. So.
Well, she's grown so much. You know, I mean, I'm glad she had this opportunity for the last 2.5, almost 3 years to come here and grow. And I think it will pay itself forward down the road. And so, heavily invest in your kids, man. It's great when you see them accomplish stuff. I mean, she just got her blue belt in jiu-jitsu. Now she graduated high school. So I'm like super proud dad, man. So
amen.
Thanks, bro.
I dig it, man. Yeah, awesome. Well, we want to give some love to our fellow supporters here. Well, one thing, though, before we get into our sponsors, you know, Clark and I want to give a shout out. Hold on here. We had a mega order come into to the Good Vibes website buying swag. So to a Mr. Rex Evans, we thank you. We really do appreciate that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yes. Rex, you're awesome. And also, I wanted to tell you, you're not the only Ryan G in my life. I've been cheating on you.
Oh, you slut.
I know. There's a Ryan G at my jiu-jitsu studio, and he listens to the podcast. So shout out to Ryan G too.
Okay.
Because you're Ryan G one. And,
got it.
It even showed me a signing card. It just says Ryan G. I thought that was kind of funny.
it's like the multi dimension Spider-Man thing. There's Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3.
It's the multiverse, dude. There's like a jiu-jitsu version of you. You didn't know that, but
I did not know that.
You're a pretty dangerous dude on the mats. I just want to let you know that.
I love it. One version's Aikido, the other guy's jiu-jitsu. I dig it. Dig it. So, as of course, guys, if you've not checked out RCR Medical for their awesome tourniquets, which are fast and efficient. You heard The Good Doctor on last weekend's episode. If you've not caught that episode, it's a really good episode. We touch on a lot of different things besides tourniquets, maybe some vid stuff, but
dude, these tourniquets are downright sexy. Check that shit out.
Ooh, I love the orange. That's safety dude tourniquet.
It's all about safety, man. Love it.
Yeah, we were playing with them this weekend, actually, yesterday. A couple dudes, I just threw them at them while we were on the barbecue and just be like, let's see if you can figure this out. It's amazing. It's just so intuitive. So, again, guys, if you've not picked up yours, please go to x8tourniquet.com. And when you are at checkout, enter the discount code GOODVIBES. And also, as you can see, I am dependent on coffee. Clark is dependent on coffee. And we want to give love to No Remorse Coffee. Kyle's an awesome dude. His videos are on IG, and we kind of cross-promote on our Instagram, too. You want to check him out. But if you've not checked out his stuff, you'd want to go to noremorsecoffee.com. You get 10% off now by entering Good Vibes. Again, I'm sporting one of his shirts. I love this shirt.
Yeah.
This is, bad. What does this say here? Good coffee for bad guys. And listen, I know you and I are coffee snobs because I drink it black.
Yeah.
There's a difference between good coffee and shit. It's
true. This is good coffee, man. And we're going to have them on too soon so we can get the whole origin story of how we came up with this and all that stuff. And so I'm excited to, you know, have our supporters and listeners, you know, peel back some layers to it because it is. I know a lot of people say, oh, another coffee company, but I think the way he's going about this is different. It's genuine. I know Kyle personally, we'll get into that when he's on the episode, kind of how we met and all this stuff, and then and why we've decided to partner up with him. It's because we believe in him and it is a good product. So I would ask for those of you who are coffee connoisseurs to try it out and let us know what you think. We just want some honest feedback, but I give it two thumbs up.
Yeah. It is. And also I'll say that his bags and his naming conventions and his branding is super creative. They're definitely conversation starters. If you want to piss off that liberal relative, then break out the bag, set it on the table.
It is. He has a unique way of making statements, and I love him for it. It's, absolutely. Dance to the beat of your own drums, man. Amen. And we should all do that. So it's definitely a non-conformist, rebellious, punk rockish brand, and that's why we love it. And and Kyle is
in the face.
What you see is what you get, man. He's full auto. So
full auto. I love that. Well, we're excited today. We thought we'd bring another guest on. I'll just keep some of these guests rolling. But this is a very unique individual. He's got a great story. It's inspirational. But also, we're going to be talking about maybe some insight into the veteran business world. This is a little bit, it looks like an iceberg where a majority of us see the peak, what's above water. But below the water, the mass of that iceberg, there's a lot to talk about, right, Clark? So
absolutely. You guys will recognize him because he and I used to do these famous live streams as we were drinking with my Buds helmets on. So they were very popular. Everybody always asked for more of the live stream Buds helmets episodes with me and my buddy Delicious. So we will,
you know,
without further ado.
what was the sitcom in the 80s? The two dudes, the Bosom Brothers? What was it?
The Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies.
Tom Hanks.
Thank you. Yeah, dude. You guys are
the Bosom Buddies. We've had some epic. I'm sure we'll get into some of that for sure.
That's awesome. All right. Without further ado, let's bring this gentleman in. And as I always cross my fingers with all the technologies and everyone monitoring us. Hey.
There he is. Hey, Delicious. Jay. Before we get started, remember those days, bro? The Buds Helmets live streams, man.
Let's see.
You see it?
There it is.
The Buds Helmet live streams. Remember that? When we would get hammered and we'd put on Buds helmets and just drink and talk shit? That's how I introduced you before we left the green room. Is I said, some of you might remember Delicious from the Buds Helmet live streams we used to do.
Those are some fun days, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad it was before they recorded those live streams. I think it was just when you shut it off, it's done, because God knows what we did and said on those epic. So thought I would kick it off with that memory, dude.
Love that.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. Here we go. Well, Jay, I first met you as Delicious. I think we met at some event years back, but we hit it off right away. And and we had a lot of adventures on many fucking levels, man. So I don't even know how to introduce you because it's just so much territory.
man, I don't know. You want me to try it?
kick it off from where were you born and kind of how you grew up? Like, what kind of childhood did you have?
Okay. Well, Jay Fain is my real name.
Delicious is his middle name, unofficial middle name.
My middle name.
Well, wait, but before you continue, you got to give the audience why your nickname is Delicious. I mean, come on.
All right. Well, a long time ago.
Just look at him. The motherfucker's delicious.
Long time ago at an old steakhouse up in Texas. Me and some friends were there hanging out, and we're smoking cigars around a fire pit after we had some good steaks, and these ladies were hanging out with us while me and my other buddies were just BSing around the damn campfire.
Right.
This one lady just nicknamed all of us.
Oh, Lord. And
she nicknamed a buddy of mine. We won't get into them, but pretty much she's like, you're just like delicious looking. And ever since then, all my buddies there started busting my balls and calling me Delicious.
It stuck. A nickname was born. It fits.
That's just the short version, you know, but that's where that came from.
I wonder what my nickname would have been. It probably would have been ew. It's fat and hairy. Oh,
no, you're a beautiful man.
Hairball. That would have been hairball.
You're just a big teddy bear.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to stop you before you started, but go ahead.
No, my name's, OCJ. But born in 84, I was born Army brat. My dad was in the Army, career Army guy. Well, I was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fort Bragg, at the old Womack Hospital. And just since then and now, I just lived a life where I just moved all over the world, been all over the place and experienced a lot of things. And, just not really from like anywhere specifically, just kind of everywhere and worldly.
From the Army. From the U.S. Army, pretty much.
Yeah, from the Army is where I came from.
Did you play any sports growing up, or what'd you do as a kid, like for hobbies and stuff? So you bounced around a lot. Did you have a chance to join any teams, or?
I mean, yeah, I played a lot of sports growing up, dude. Freaking from golf to wrestling to football to soccer to baseball, all of it. And like played on teams and whatever, And I still play golf a lot.
Yeah.
Well, not as much as I used to, but I still play, and it's really about it now. So.
Nice, man. Any martial arts growing up? Did you go through a ninja phase like most of us did?
You better believe it. When I was living living in Korea as a kid.
Did you do some taekwondo in Korea? Yeah, oh, dude, that's straight from the source, dude. Nice.
And those guys are serious about it over there, man. We used to get like, oh, man, it wasn't just like, oh, here's the forms. You can do the forms, man. You're late 1 minute, you're getting spanked in the butt. Like,
oh, yeah.
Those guys are serious about it.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
You're obviously, as you mentioned, you said you're an Army brat, so you traveled all over the world because your father was obviously stationed at different bases all over the world. You have some military background yourself, but before getting into that, was that just something that you naturally wanted to do, or was it expected? Is there, what was that like growing up in a household being an Army brat? Because I've heard different things. It's like, dude, you're joining, you're enlisting, or it's kind of like, whatever you want.
No, it was, my parents, they didn't like force anything down my throat type thing. They let my sister and I like just choose our own paths. Like they encouraged us to go to school, get an education. They encouraged us to do this, but they never said, no, you have to do this.
Right.
They supported us with whatever we did. And initially I did the school thing, the college thing for a little bit. And that's when, that was like the 9/11 era, And, I went to college instead of going straight into the military, like some of my friends did in high school. And then, I had friends that deployed while I was in college. A couple didn't come back. And after that stuff happened, I was like, I'm wasting my time here at school. I need to join because I knew I was always going to be in the military, no matter what. I didn't think like, hey, I'm going to grow up to be a doctor or grow up to be a lawyer or grow up to be a whatever. I'm going to grow up to join the military. That's all I knew.
Right.
And so I did. Did a few years there and then got wounded, retired, and I'm a happy married and happy family man,
Yeah, that's good to see, man. That's awesome. So what was it like when you got out of the military, you came back to the States? What was it like? Because it's pretty common struggle for all of us, regardless of the scenario, that transition. What was that like kind of trying to become a normal person again?
Well, really, honestly, it's kind of different in my story compared to, a lot of people have had the time to retire or ETS and like had some kind of transition period out. Me, I went straight to a war, boom, got blown up, lost a leg, went to the hospital, surgery, recovery, therapy, and then medically retired out and drove back home. I didn't have like I know I'm getting out this time, so I can mentally, it was just one to the other. It was a little different for me, I guess, but it wasn't bad because, I had my family, I went back home to my family and, just kind of had like a chill out period for a while and then kind of went back to school. Then I got some jobs after that. And That was really it. That's kind of like my transition into the civilian life, you know.
I do want to ask one question with that, because I know we want to get more onto what you're doing and talk about, you know, the aspect of veterans and business, things like this. But
yeah,
the one question I have, because you're in a unique situation, we've talked to different veterans that have been, you know, has been wounded. But your father was still active during the time, if I understand. And what was that like, knowing that your father served probably 20 plus years or whatever it must be, you know, obviously did not get a scratch in that sense, but here he is now with his son. Did he ever say anything to you, or what was that like for you and him? Just, you know, curious.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I was wounded there in Baghdad, and he was working over there at the same time. He got me back to stay safely from that. And I know, I mean, he stayed strong for me the whole fucking time, you know, and he got me there, you know, and got me to where I needed to be. And then my mother, you know, stayed at the hospital and took over and took care of me. But like, I know with my dad in that aspect, he didn't like talking about it too much, because what man wants to see his son like?
Oh,
right.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, he's a strong man. You know, he's been through a lot in his life. And, you know, he helped me through that. And I thank him every day for that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, what I think is really special and unique is, again, because your father was a veteran, and strong men raise strong kids. Mm-hmm. And you're a testimony to that in his character. It's just too bad a majority of society now are now casting, you know, or pointing fingers like, how can you raise a young man like that? You're calling you every name under the book. And we're actually losing that special bond, that connection, that tradition of the chief passing it down to the you know, his oldest warrior son, the tradition. Yeah. So it's that.
Yeah, I mean, what I see nowadays compared to the way I grew up, my generation, I guess, is, it's kind of a shift where the respect is earned, right?
Mm.
Like, it seems like, you know, in my day as a kid, I see a grown-up, regardless if he's a stranger or not, him or her, I automatically respect that elder, that grown-up, you know? It's not my fault. It's the grown-up's fault if I lose respect for that person. Nowadays, it's a switch. It seems like the kids... the grown-ups, no matter what, have to respect the kids, and you know, that's not how it's supposed to work. You know, you don't put that kid on a pedestal unless they earn that respect, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of that nowadays. Well, whatever, parents who want to raise their children the way, however they, you know, that's their kid, their children. But if I since I know you guys, I'm not saying you guys look old, but I know you guys are older.
Only by a couple years, bro, you know?
I'm only going to pay you guys respect, no matter what. It would be y'all's fault if I lose respect. Right?
You know,
that's just supposed to.
Well, and respect is also a two-way street, too. I think there's a lot of younger people that are entitled walking around like, mm-hmm. you know, you just automatically need to kiss their ass or bow down to them or... You know, I was talking to a buddy yesterday on the phone, and he was construction worker in the Bay Area. And he said this group of teenagers was coming down the sidewalk, and this kid just got in his face and started yelling at him.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's mind blowing. Like, could you imagine as a teenager, a high school kid going up to a grown man in his mid 50s and getting in his face and yelling at him?
No, like, never.
That, I just can't wrap my brain around that, dude. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people? So you're right. When we were raised, you show respect to everybody, and unless they act like an asshole and lose that respect, but it's a two-way street. If you're polite to someone, they should be polite to you. But now you see these young kids doing some bold, stupid shit, man, with no concern of human decency. Or it's fucking weird, man.
Well,
it seems like some of these children, not all of them, some of these children that act that way just seem like they have nothing to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a good one good ass flipping to fucking figure out, all right, I need to start changing my ways.
Yeah. You know? I think maybe that fell away from parenting, because I know I threw a rock through my neighbor's window once. Don't know why. Ooh. Stupid kid shit. I got my ass beat. And you know what I never did again? I never threw a rock through another window because I knew what the fuck was going to happen.
Now,
but kids don't get those ass whoopings, and so they keep throwing rocks through windows, man. All they need is one good whooping.
So, dude, when you walk by rocks now, do you smell leather?
No, but I walk by windows and my butt hurts, dude, still to this day. Somebody, what the fuck is it? Oh, yeah.
No, but I think Jay's bringing up a good point, because the thing is, I think I could distill it down to one word. It's authority. You know, when we were raised, our parents were authority figures. The police were authority figures. Our teachers were authority figures. And now this younger generation, they don't look at any of these people as authority figures. They think they're walking around with their chest out, be like, I am the authority now. And that's where we're seeing the decay, because they're not being raised with that level of respect to authority figures. So,
And there's no one to blame here, really. It's just how society is nowadays.
That's how you know you're getting older. When shit doesn't make sense, you know you're getting older, you know?
Yeah.
turn into that Clint Eastwood character, like, it's fucking stupid, you know?
That's going to be me, a cigar and a little glass of whiskey on the porch, just cursing out loud, talking to myself.
Look at those fuckers walk by.
Yeah. Pick up after that. Dude, I'll yell at someone if someone doesn't pick up after their dog and they think I'm just an angry old man.
Oh, dude, my neighbor threw dog shit in a bag in my trash can. She lives right around the corner. I was so pissed, dude. I just threw it over the fence in their backyard. Hasn't been their dog shit in my trash can since. Now, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, look, I get if you're way out in the neighborhood and like, what do I do with this? You're literally 20 feet around the corner. I was so mad, dude. I don't know what, separate story, but I'm sure my neighbors are scared of me from the Thanksgiving when I was passed out naked in my backyard and the fence blew down. I ruined their Thanksgiving. Anyway, I digress. Jay.
I love it. Love it.
How did you get involved in, so you come back, you're kind of chilling with your family and stuff, but you and I met through kind of the veteran community, the business community. How did you initially get, after you're done kind of chilling and getting better at home, how did you kind of get brought into that whole aspect of stuff where we ended up eventually meeting?
I mean, through mutual friends, right? That's how we met. And just kind of going to events and meeting people and talking and shaking their hands, getting to know them type thing. And then, that's how we kind of all got together in some of that work that we did, right? And it was nice, having those social events and meeting like-minded people. And that's how I kind of got into that mix, and just kind of ran that for a little while. It was nice. It was fun because I learned a lot about business. I learned a lot about friendship. I learned a lot about respect. I learned a lot about the community. And it was really nice those days.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a second chance at the brotherhood in the early days. It was cool to be around other veterans, especially during, the close years of separation from military service. You're kind of the most vulnerable. Like, you just feel weird around civilians. And so those events and those things we used to do, like, hey, I'm with my tribe of crazies, man. This is, you can be yourself. remember you and I had a conversation once, and we used to go to that little corner bar there. Not the one by the shop, but you remember the one that was like a little restaurant?
Yeah.
That little one right there. And I remember one time we get our first beers and we're getting all smiley and shit. And you said, do you ever notice, like, throughout the day, we're kind of just numb and quiet and boring, but as soon as we get to the bar and a beer's in our hand, we turn into comedians? And it was true. Dude, I was like, you're right. There's just this dullness all day, but then we'd go to that little silly place, or to be honest, any silly place we ended up with, boy, it just turned into some stand-up comedy special. Like, it was
man. Like, it's nice just getting together with your friends and just like BS and hanging out, having a beer, whatever, doing whatever together, man. It's just, those days are nice, man. Or just hanging out with good people. It's just nice, man.
The camaraderie.
I miss that camaraderie and all.
It's, well, you can be yourself, because I know in different groups, if I'm at work and I tell an overseas story, no one's going to understand. They'll probably think I'm crazy. But when you get a group of military veterans together, everyone knows what you're talking. It's just this fun banter that you can only tell those stories in that group, and it makes sense. Anywhere else, people are like, what?
You guys are crazy.
Yeah. No, it's a lifestyle, you know? It's just what we did for a certain...
I wouldn't know what to do around a group of doctors bullshitting together, or a group of... I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. I know what they're talking about, but... Cool.
I think proctologists would be pretty funny to hear them joke around.
Oh, God. Gross.
I'm just saying, out of all doctors, that's the type of party I wanted to be like, seriously? You guys are talking about assholes all day?
Just remember, it feels like the tip of your nose, the prostate, right?
Yeah.
That's gross. It's true. That's what our medics told us. I don't know if they were trying to trick us or not.
Serious?
But...
I've never heard that before.
Really?
Yeah, the prostate's supposed to feel like the tip of your nose. So I've always had that like training scar in my head. Like, oh, fuck, is that what a prostate feels like? I've never checked, oddly enough. Oh, my God. Okay. How we got on that topic.
Yeah. So, Jay, you've been around veterans and their different type of businesses. Clark and I... What we've kind of discussed behind scenes, we've never really had an episode solely focused on it. At least I can't recall. I could be wrong, but it's a little bit of the Wizard of Oz effect, right? So it's like pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's a little bit of a production, a performance, you know, etc. It's not the real person or not necessarily genuine people. Can you talk on that a little?
Like working for companies and
well, there's a lot of images like on social media that make these companies look epic. And you and I have worked for some same companies. You've worked for different companies. What I found is that it's weird. You and I know some people are the same person in person as they are on social media, and other people, it's just weird. Like, can you talk about without naming names? We don't want to throw mud, but in your experience, the goods and bads of like meeting these people. Big business, small business, like what has that experience been like, you know?
I mean, it's interesting meeting these people, having a personal and professional relationship with a lot of these people, and I know how they are personally and professionally, and the ones that know how to separate the two, you know, their personal personas as compared to their professional personas are pretty good damn people. But people that just live that one lifestyle constantly, like as a professional or as a pro, you know, or as a pro, you know, if they're just a bro the whole time, then okay, I get it. Like, that's your thing. But, you know, what else are you other than just a bro? Are you a husband? Are you a wife? Are you a family man? Or you can't have your cake and eat it too when it comes to that stuff, right? Be a pro when you have to be a pro. Be a bro when you have to be a bro. And know when to throw up that border and throw up those walls, you know, because you never know who or what you can affect along the way, especially if you're running a big organization or an organization that helps, or you have to appease your customers or the community or whatever. You know, there's a separation there. You have to learn when to differentiate that. When you're working for these organizations or working for anybody, really, you know, and a lot of the people that I've worked with are very good, right? Some are not, you know, but that's their thing, you know, but you just, if you're working for these people, you just got to be able to identify it and establish those borders, that relationship with them. And if they cross those boundaries, turn around and walk away. That's the best thing you can do.
Yeah, Clark and I sometimes talk about it. It's almost like, because again, we're being 80s kids, it's almost like watching WWF sometimes, you know, it is, because you have these larger than life personalities like, you know, Hogan versus the Giant or whatever. But, you know, Hulk Hogan is way different from Terry Hogan, you know, so, or these guys are just, you know, big teddy bears and completely different personalities. Yeah. And sometimes you see that with musicians too, right? It's the stage persona versus how they are.
How they really are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very interesting to
It was a weird experience for me, because when I came into the wheelhouse of veteran-owned businesses and stuff is right at the same time I was new to social media. I had a buddy help me set up my first Instagram account. As a cop, the type of work I did wasn't allowed to have any social media. Obviously, you don't want the bad guys trying to figure out who the hell you are and stuff. And so it was just taboo for me until I left Phoenix. Then a buddy had me set up Instagram, and it was fucking weird. And I always took everybody at face value. Like, you would see some of these pages, and as my account got to grow and I followed more people, but in the veteran-owned business world, I got to meet some of these people, and it was very weird. It was very, some people are exactly what you would expect. Like, you're the same on social media as you are in person. I think I am. But some of these other people, it was like, whoa, it was so weird. It was really Wizard of Oz. You pull the curtain back and it's like, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting this. And so it was kind of a weird thing for me. You know, the whole social media in tandem with the veteran-owned businesses. And I don't know if it was a good thing or bad thing. I don't use it for business anymore. It's just my account's just retarded on purpose. but can you talk to some of that? Like, the combination of veterans and social media, the good and the bad? Because some people, I think it's a good thing. It's good for business. But sometimes I think it consumes people and they start to believe that version of themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you hit it. You hit the nail on the head with home. A lot of these guys are girls, you know. I see how they run their social media, and some it's their niche. You know, that's how they're their livelihood. I get it. You know, that's how they pay their bills. I respect that. But outside of that, when they're like in the real world, let's just say that, you know, away from that stuff, you know, what gets me is some of these people that, you know, we probably both know together, act that way when they're just around their friends, you know, their families. Like, dude, no, that's not how I know who you are exactly. You know, like, I get it, but dude, we're not doing that. You know, I just want to be like, hey, dude, oh, wow, you cut your grass today. How's that damn John Deere you used? You know, like I don't care. Like, oh, wow, these analysts, I got 1,000 followers today. Like, who cares? Yeah,
let's just do some normal shit. Talk about normal shit.
Well, the scary thing is with social media is the more you start stepping into that facade, the more you start believing it, and the more you start constantly acting that way. And that's the scariness of the social media effect becoming mental illness at some point. It's very scary because it's an addiction thing, right? I mean, let's face it. It is 100% designed for addiction.
So I've told some of these people I've worked with or worked for or has worked for me that have these big social media accounts, like, hey, are you able to part ways with your account right now? They can't answer that right away, then, you know, they have an addiction.
Well, what's some of the answers you get? Do you get like firms like, of course, or do you get like,
You know, I need to run into blah, blah. I was like, okay, I get it, that's your livelihood, you pay your bills for that, but is there another means of another means of, you know, surviving without that, you know? And if they can't answer it, then I'm like, I wouldn't tell them what to, dude, maybe you should think about investing, saving or something where you can just take a break from it, at least.
What if it gets banned or shut down? You can't put all your eggs in one basket, dude. Like, it's happened to a lot of buddies, man, you know? Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sad because in your statement, two words stick out for me. It's you said, you know, that's your source of income or revenue, but you also said surviving. And if you're looking at it through, oh my God, I need this to survive versus I need this to thrive, you know, had that lens on how, okay, I'm thriving at this. Maybe I could dial this down. What do I seek next to thrive? Because I don't need to be relying on this. Right?
No.
But they're looking at it. The way you hear people talk, it's survival. Be like, oh, bro, I can't switch platforms. I got 100,000 followers. So what? How many of those people actually know you? How many of those people are a percent of bots? I have news for you. Yeah. Probably over 70% are bots. Okay?
Well, and social media should supplement your lifestyle in that it's kind of, it enhances what you already have in place. Like, it should highlight what you're about, not be what you're about. If that's your sole source of income and you're not just highlighting like Travis Pastrana, world famous fucking dirt biker. Yeah, his social media is awesome, but it's not about social media. He's documenting his awesomeness. Like, this is what I do. But there's some people that like all their foundation is social media. And that's so dangerous, man, because yeah, if they can unplug that, boop, just like that, you're done.
I understand the social media game. Obviously, I play it every once in a while. I have one, and it's an okay size account compared to all these other people that have these huge accounts, right? But like, you jump on it, you see what I post on. It's just whatever, me and my wife, or whatever, my dogs, just random stuff, or something I've done, sure, been proud of in my time, you know.
Sure.
But I'm not looking to like make money off or get famous on it. It's just
create content. You're just documenting your day, which
you're
is
being
awesome,
genuine.
Man.
You're giving people a glimpse of what you're doing instead of like sitting around all night from a production point of view. Like, tomorrow I need to post something. What is my angle? What is my, you know, what is my going to be my ROI on this post? I mean,
yeah. Come on. Well, it's tough. You know, when I worked at a firearms training company, coming up with interesting content was part of our workday. But then it got weird when people started to figure out, well, when should we post? We need to hashtag stuff. We need to at stuff. And my whole argument was, guys, if you post good shit, the followers will come, the business will come. Like, just post good shit. Like, that's where our energy should be. Not like, hey, we need to post at 9:30, 12, and 3. And like, no, dude, just be yourselves. If you post good shit, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah,
like, don't
feel the dreams the shit out of it, like you're saying.
I had conversations with veteran-owned business people that were like, they buy followers, they buy likes, they do all this stuff, they create this engagement and stuff. But at that time, my account was like twice or three times theirs, and they were baffled. And I said, all I do is goof around. The one thing I learned is people like humor. It doesn't matter if you're racing cars, shooting guns, you can make it fun and funny. That attracts more people. If you're serious, all right, today we're going to shoot handgun. Who the fuck wants to? But if you do post your bloopers, post like when you and I would go to the range, the funny shit we would do, like, that's what people like to see. Like, here's two dudes shooting, having fun. That's fun to watch. You know, I think people just got too into, what do we have to do? Like, it takes the fun out of it, dude. I don't know. I saw that with many companies.
Yeah. And a lot of these people that do that stuff, that's their game and stuff. Like, not just companies, but individuals that do that stuff. Like, I get it. That's, you know, but like, commit something. Don't just jump on to the next one. Then burn bridges along the way, because that's when you start like ruining relationships.
Yes.
You know.
Well said.
And you don't want to do that, especially if they're good people, you know?
Yeah.
Because they find inspiration through you that way. You know, it's like, commit and then keep that commitment. And if you can't, you know, be real about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's a level of responsibility too. I don't know about nowadays, but I know when you and I were running a gun, and I think there was a responsibility. There's a lot of people that looked up to military veterans, a lot of followers, a lot of supporters. They wanted to support veteran-owned businesses. They supported our social media pages.
Yeah.
And I don't know that we took it in the right way at that time, but looking back on it, like, we had a lot of people kind of looking up to us because we were still in the war mode as a nation. We were the first wave to kind of come back from all that. And I don't know if we realized what we were really doing at that time. And maybe if we focused too hard on it, it would have come out weird, but looking back on it, like, there was some responsibility, you know, we had a lot of eyes on us for sure.
Yeah, man, we did. You know, I don't know if we took it for granted or we just like, just having fun with it, you know,
but I think we're just in the moment,
live and learn, had fun. It was a good time. You know, we can look back on it and say, hey, no regrets.
Yeah, no, dude, for sure. We were having fun, man. I wanted to ask you a quick question before I forget. I noticed something kind of weird in the veteran community, and it does tie into businesses and social media.
Yeah.
In some cases, not all cases, there seems to be kind of a quiet jealousy, or, you know what I mean? If you have two coffee companies, two t-shirt companies, two dudes from NSW, two dudes from fucking the Greenberg, like,
yeah.
There seems to be a disconnect, like, that there wasn't active duty. I think there's the illusion of, oh, all these veteran businesses get along with each other. There seems to be Like, I notice if I post a picture of myself from the SEAL days, no SEALs will hit like. It's, and I don't, whatever. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you just get a group of people, like, there seems to be a disconnect. I don't know. And it's not just in that military background, but in the business sense. Like, if this company does this, this company's either quiet about it or has kind of a, some passive aggressive comments. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, I get it. I see it every day, or I've seen it. And it is really annoying, you know, like everyone, it seems like everyone's just out for themselves, which is the dumbest thing to do, right?
Yeah.
People don't realize we all did this together, right?
Epic.
We all did this together and supported each other.
Yeah.
Like then when we're on the teams together or whatever. Everyone was trapped. It's so simple.
Yeah.
But
that's what I don't get.
Like there's like, no, it seems like people are saying, no, this is the right way of doing things. This is the only way. No, man. There's so many different ways for everyone to strive together. And if we all just kind of supported each other in the same way, think of us as equals. Dude,
we'd all rise to the top.
Yeah. We all rise to the top.
Well, what's interesting is it's somewhat of cause and effect, right? Because I've been thinking about this past week, knowing that we were going to talk to you, is, and just trying to put it in normal business terms, is, you know, 5, 6, 8 years ago, there was literally just a handful of companies. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a saturated market, right? So it wasn't about tearing each other down. A lot of them were like, hey, that's cool. I'm the shirt dude. You're the coffee dude. You're the gear dude, whatever it is. But now talk about, and seriously, there's a lot of business you could start, but I have to say right now, one of the most oversaturated markets right now is the veteran market. Everyone is private labeling different products, you know, shirts, things like that. And the messaging is all the same, as you're saying, right? Now, so since the messaging and the angle is all the same, now it's turning dirty pool where it's be like, no, my message is better because I'm special ops and this guy's just a Marine grunt and or this versus that. And I just find that so interesting. Would you agree with a statement like that? Do you think it's because the market has gotten so saturated with veterans trying to do the apparel, the coffee, the, you know, fill in the blank?
No, it's, I mean, yeah, it's saturated compared to what it used to be. And then see a lot of professional jealousy there. Some is doing better than others. They're like, oh, they're trying to copycat me, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of that, right? I get it. But yeah, that's like the wrong thing to do if you keep that, like if you have those types of thoughts or conversations about someone copycatting you, then you keep that private to yourself. Or don't even talk about it, don't even think about it.
Well said.
Don't go. What they don't need to do is spread that rumor or spread that across the community, because then it'll trickle down and there's an effect, second and third order effects when it comes to that stuff, you know, and then it's causing a disdain across the community since it's so saturated because everyone knows everyone, you know.
Well, what bothers me about it is, and it's obviously the veterans are kind of recognizing this. They're saying, ah, man, we're kind of at each other. We're supposed to be brothers, but the civilians are the ones who are really the ping pong, right? Because they're getting caught up in this, be like, well, I'm only going to buy t-shirts from this guy because he's, you know, special ops.
Well, it's like kids in a divorce is what we do to our supporters. Like, what? Why I can't buy t-shirts from all three companies? I got to just go with this one. I see them get kind of stuck in the spats that we all have with each other. Like, well, if I support this guy's going to get mad. The way I look at it, dude, is if you're this big powerhouse that's created a brand and people are copying you, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Look at what Black Sabbath did to rock and roll. They inspired Metallica, Iron Maiden, you name it.
Right.
So I would, if I created something so awesome that people are copying it, fuck yeah, dude, I'm not going to give you the recipe to my secret sauce, but I'll bring you in. I'll help you out. I'll put you on a podcast and give you a shout out, or, you know what I mean? Like you said, y'all rise up together, man. I mean, imagine the music industry if Black Sabbath told Metallica to fuck off. No, you know what Ozzy did? He had them open for Ozfest. That's how they blew up. Like, imagine that concept. If the big guys took a little guy and said, hey, we want you to come to this event with us. What that would do, man. I mean, if you're that big, what do you have to lose? You're good.
Well, yeah. You know? Don't look over your back in a race, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to that stuff, like, especially when it comes to business, right? You know, a lot of people start seeking in, and then the what's the old saying or the thing that we talk about? Then too many chiefs are around, not enough Indians.
That's true.
And all these chiefs are button heads, and then everyone's trying to appease everyone, and everyone's trying to please everyone and not hurt everyone along the way. But at the very end of it, they're going to protect what solely means the most to them in that realm is their money. Right. And you have to kind of respect that in a sense, because a lot of these people are family people. You know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do for their family. And you can't take offense to that. And you can't tear them down for it.
No.
You just got to forgive, forget, whatever you got to do, and walk away if you can't be around them. But it just sucks. It has to be that way, right? The simple thing to do is like, okay, that's how you want to be. Well, I'm going to go do this.
Right.
And this is how I'm going to do it. Are you going to support me or not? Yes or no. And those are the only answers I can give you. And then whatever answer they give you right away, all right, cool. Bye. Or, all right, cool. Let's do it now. You know.
Yeah.
And it's that simple, man. Like if you try to change or try to take over, don't, you know, just walk away.
No, that's well said. I mean, in any business, too many people focus on trying to get a slice of the pie, but you don't realize you could make millions on the crumbs. So, you know, don't look at the tree, look at the forest, right? So, you know, don't try to get that slice. If the slice isn't working out for you, maybe because you don't either have the ideas or the funding or whatever to grow, then look at the crumbs. Base your tactics and strategy on the crumbs, right? So,
well, people need to slow down nowadays, man. That's the problem. People are trying to do everything too quick.
Yes. Yeah. Well, on demand, some
try to grow too quick, right? Too. Yeah. A lot of people are, it just takes time to do it right anyway, I think. To grow organically, word of mouth, I think, is still the best thing to do. That's what we've done with this podcast. You know, we're not paying for these networks or, you know, it just is what it is, you know. It's I think people
the old school simple just a cold call or knocking on the door or just handshaking, like, hey, all right, let's do this.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth is so much better of a business practice than, you know, let's email back and forth for months on end and nothing happens. You know?
Yeah. Well, that you're making an impression, and an impression is on how you gain a customer or a relationship. A follower is nothing but a number.
Yeah. Well, a follower is just an observer. You know, when you meet somebody, shake their hand, go to coffee with them, lunch with them, whatever it is, like, that's a human connection. That's a name with a face. That's a person. Now it's kind of personable. Whereas with all this technology, Zoom meetings, it's not the same. And so I think,
except for this podcast,
someday we're getting it in studio, dude. It will make it better. There's nothing better than an in studio podcast.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Podcasts, having all that's cool, and are playing video games or whatever the people like to do nowadays. It's all cool, but, you know, manage your time, just like we all learn. Everyone learns that, you know, no matter what damage. Manage your time. Like, take time to be like, all right, I'm gonna go play with my dogs. All right, I'm gonna go have time with my kids. I'm gonna take my wife out to dinner, you know, and just manage all that together. And then you guys gotta do it as a team effort. You know, that's how me and my family.
Those moments you're talking about, Jay, please don't record all those and post. There's no point for that.
Be in the moment. Yeah,
Be in the moment. Live the moment with the people that count, and quite honestly, you're not that famous. No one cares where you're eating dinner. It's just that true. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jay and I have seen several of our buddies actually think they're famous. And it's like, dude, no one knows who you're. Not The Rock, bro. You're not Eddie Murphy. Like, you know, once you step outside your little pond, no one knows who the fuck you are. It's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Eddie Murphy.
Just go to the airport
famous.
And see how many people ask you for an autograph. That'll show you how famous you're not.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I traveled recently and I love it. You want to observe human behavior. Just go to the airport. You see all emotions. I love it. You see people who haven't seen people in years. They give the hugs. You see active duty coming off planes. That's patriotic. And then you see, hey guys, I'm at the airport, smoochy face. It's just like, who are you? Seriously? Yeah. Who gives a shit that you're about to get on a plane?
I know.
Some people like to live. Well, some people need that gratification through something. You know, that's where they live their lives on. You know, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? I'm just saying, like, hey, maybe they're a product of whatever environment then, or the way they grew up,
different times too. Younger generations going to be, you and I come from a generation where you want to be in person, hands on, touch things, be with your bros. But
yeah,
nowadays it's all digital. So who knows, the younger kids, well, that's how they connect.
You're becoming,
man,
a product of the product, right?
So you are the product. That's the problem with that stuff. Well, hey, real quick, Jay, I had a question.
Yeah,
in your experience, you've had a chance to work with pretty massive companies and smaller companies. What's brought you more like personal satisfaction? I mean, maybe it's a little bit of both, but what are kind of the pros and cons of working for these big empires? And then what are the pros and cons of kind of the startups, you know, being in on something ground level?
Like personally or professionally? Which one are we talking about?
I would just say professionally for now. Like what is it like, good and bad, working for these big, big companies, and then the good and bad of kind of the small startups that you've been a part of?
Okay. I mean, really, like, small startups as compared to these big empires, they're all the same. You know, they're just, one's bigger than the other. But businesses ran pretty much the same. You know, you might have more, let's say, what's the word? More responsibilities or duties or things you have to do for a job for a smaller business as compared to a business where you have more support, you know. You do learn a lot about entrepreneurship, you know, doing this stuff. You know, you're like, okay, not saying I know how to run a business, but, you know, I got some experience doing this without going to a school or having an MBA or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of experience like that, learning how to run business. And the other thing that it did help me, honestly, is I'm not going to be mad at a plumber running his own business. I get it. I get his hustle or her
well
hustle.
Said. Yeah. Well said.
Like, okay, dude. All right. What do you need? Tell me. Do your thing. Like, I won't be in your way or try to tell you what to do because it's your business. But if you need some help or need anything, let me know. I'll leave you alone. Yeah. You know? It's just people try to think they know more than somebody about their own business that's been doing it every day.
you mean these kids that are graduating from college and expect to be a senior manager within 2 months?
Yeah, within 2 months, no.
Right?
You're gonna be filing data for a long time before you become a manager and run.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother topic.
Even
going there. No, that's a really interesting observation, and I agree completely. It's always interesting when you could stand back and you finally gain the respect of both sides of the field, right? You have the entrepreneur, the one creating the jobs, and then you have the other side of the field, the people working those jobs. And you need a healthy understanding of both sides of the field in order to respect all aspects of business. So that's very interesting to hear you say it that way. Because most people just have that one perspective. They've never walked the mile in the entrepreneur's shoes. Yeah. And that's one of the hardest miles to walk, because it's like, you know, why is he making these decisions, or why did he fire that person? Right? It's like, dude, you have no idea.
That's these people that work for these big companies or small companies and their employees, they need to stop asking the why and just do their job, right?
Well said.
Because if they keep asking the why, then they're going to hate their own job because it's their own fault. Well, no. You know,
the simple answer is that there's a team that discussed the whys. They're called the executive team.
Yeah.
If you're not on that team, don't concern yourself. Decision's already been made. But it's almost like the military. It's like, dude, you don't sit around and be like, why are the Joint Chiefs doing this? Yeah. You know, it just doesn't happen.
Ask your sergeant why is an E3 and see what happens. You get fucking slapped.
Jeez.
Push-ups. Yeah, go do push-ups till you figure out the answer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, dude, the next question I got, what does Jay, Delicious Jay Fang, do for fun?
What does Delicious Jay Fang do for fun?
Like, what do you do for fun? Like, in your personal life, what kind of hobbies, stuff you do with the family? Like, I'll give you an example. I thought of you the other day because I saw the new Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D. And the first time I saw Guardians of the Galaxy was at your house. I had no idea what it was. That was fun. So I thought of you. I was like, oh.
I mean, really, I've been what I do for fun, dude. Like, honestly, hobbies-wise, I like to do a lot of things for fun, right? Everything's fun to me. Everything is fun to me. Playing with my dogs is fun to me.
That's awesome.
You know, having dinner with my wife and my family is fun to me. You know, like, hobbies-wise, I say, scuba diving, something I've done in the last few years. You know, if I can get out to, if I can go on a scuba dive or something, that's a good fun hobby. I love it. You know,
nice.
Playing golf with my mother, with my family, or by myself, or with some buddies, and maybe having some few beers and just like hit the balls around, just having a good time. Like, that's fun.
my best hole is the 19th green. So, and my handicap is just stupid. Not a number; it's stupid. But for the golfers out there, what is your handicap?
Right now, I mean, dude, honestly, I haven't had a set handicap in a while. The last set handicap when I was keeping up was a 12. 12.
Dude, holy shit!
It was pretty good, but
good on you.
I haven't seriously taken golf in a while because now I just like to go out there, hit the balls, like, because I don't want to get serious about a bad shot. You know, it's nice. Golf. It's golf, dude. It's a game that's meant to be played.
It's stressful to me anytime I've tried to play it, man. Holy shit. And I've seen you fucking, remember the back nine? We go out there and crank some balls and shit and they go get hammered.
Good times, man.
Yeah, you're good, dude. You can crank away. I was like, damn, dude. All right, fuck.
That's a frustrating sport. It's actually the one sport where if you do drink, you actually get better. I'm a firm believer in that. You know, because think about it, you're so wound up, you're so pissed off.
I guess it does calm the nerves. Yeah, it will deaden the nerves a little bit.
Yeah, just like, I don't care what happens to this. I'm just going to hit this ball. Next thing you know, you hit it straight and long.
Oh, shit. There it is.
Well, eventually you put the fuck it hat on and you actually start playing good because it's like you're so tense at that first drive on the first hole. It's just like, so.
Yeah.
I got to do at least 3 shots before my first swing. So.
Oh, shit.
It's a fun 18 holes.
It's a good time, though. It's always a good time.
It is. Golf is a fun, aggravating sport.
I'll just stick to putt-putt golf, dude. That's about all I can do, and I even suck at that.
You could ride in the cart and be the pinch putter. I'll call you in, and you can come putt.
The pinch putt. I know the putts are stressful, too, dude. Fuck, man.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing I enjoy about the game. It's just all stress. Like, fuck.
You got to have a theme song. You come walking down with your putter. You kind of brush your shoulders off. Be like, I got this shit.
Like an entrance song, like a pro wrestler.
Yeah, like a wrestler,
dude.
Yeah.
Some fireworks blazing. Hey. That's awesome.
Oh, we've digressed. It's all good.
That's awesome, man. Well, Jay, I appreciate your time, brother. We're about to wrap it up, man. It's always good chatting with you. I miss you, dude. We've had so many adventures. We could have a whole episode on the stupid shit we did over the years, man.
That'd be fun.
Truly epic times, man. You do make everything you do, you make it fun. I will say that. You do have fun with everything you do, man.
Hell yeah. Well, Jay, for the Vibe Tribe, who are real people, not bots, if they wanted to follow you, where can they find you?
I mean, go on my Instagram. You know, Jaylimp, Jaylimp.
Don't shit. That's easy.
There you okay. go.
You heard it. You heard it there, everyone. Well, Jay, we appreciate the fucking around and the fuckery of this episode. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Wishing you all the best going forward with your success and health. And Vibe Drive, as we always say, keep your heart free from hate and your minds free from worry. Clarky, love you. Jay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Love you, guys.
Yeah, love you, guys. See you, dudes.
Later, guys. Bye.